Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Harlan Stone, the CEO with HMTX Industries. Harlan, how you doing?
Very well, Kemp. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. I want to explain HMTX is a new brand, so let me just explain that. You're a major player in the LVT business. Your family's been in the business for a long time. When you rolled this brand name out, it's a combination of Metroflor, Halstead, and all the businesses that you have across the world related to LVT. You were just in the Wall Street Journal this week on the cover, I might add. I don't know if there's been any other flooring stories on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, at least in the last 10 years. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much, Kemp.
And the topic of that story was Chinese tariffs and the impact and actually who ends up paying for it. So you did a good job of speaking for the industry.
Well, I appreciate that, Kemp. And as you know, we have spoken many times about the tariffs and about my fight against allowing the trade war to impact our beloved flooring industry with specific aspects to luxury vinyl tile. That story originated from a trip in May. It's a long time brewing, and I think it did capture the amount of effort and also the where the impact may lie, which is with consumers. And I believe now most Americans accept the fact that the tariff is going to be a tax on consumers.
Yeah, and as you mentioned in your article, you have a series of lawyers working on getting this category, rigid LVT, omitted and taken off, or de-tariffed, whatever the word is.
That is correct. The technical term is we filed an application for exclusion from the tariffs. Yeah. That application has been submitted. We have a lot of support for it, not the least of which is many of the congressmen from the great state of Georgia, one of the senators, as well as my congressman here in Connecticut. So we've got a lot of support in Washington. We have a lot of support in the industry. We believe our argument is clear, fair, and accurate, and that we hope that the U.S. Trade Representative's office finds in our favor, and more attention that's brought to this as being negative for people, for consumers, and for small and medium-sized businessmen, the more likely it will be the exclusion will be granted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you real quickly, how's business doing for you this year so far?
Well, I would say it remains strong for us. It's a bit choppy in certain of our different brands and different marketplaces. Mm-hmm. So certain parts of the commercial marketplace have been choppy. Certain parts of residential are up and down. But overall, business is positive, and we are still benefiting from the increased demand of LVT, both rigid and flexible. Just to be clear, our application, by the way, is for the inclusion of rigid and flexible LVT.
Okay.
And we participate in both those markets.
Okay. I don't know if your dad knew a long time ago when he started in this business that it was going to take off like it did, but it's all of the growth in the business right now.
We are all amazed, and we feel very, very lucky and fortunate.
Yeah.
And we'll work hard to keep that going as best we can.
There's another reason I wanted to talk to you today. You're the founder of the MFA, which is the Multi-Layered Flooring Association, which most people know has been rolled into the RFCI now. But as the founder, I thought you might want to talk about some of the energy that's going on right now around waterproof flooring.
My pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to address that, Kemp. While leading the MFA, we had worked very hard on considering a proper definition of waterproof and what that means in the flooring industry. That has now been taken up in the new functions over with the RFCI. And we believe there should be a clear definition of waterproof, which in our minds, and I think in most of the consumers' minds, is different than waterproofing. So waterproofing is when you create a barrier between your surface product, your actual flooring, and your structural product, which is either wooden underlayment, cement, or old flooring. So how do you protect your structure? That is usually done with membranes. That is that normally waterproofing is done with membranes and or a roll-on thing. Those are often synthetic materials, often plastic materials, and that the waterproof is really about the absorption of moisture of the actual flooring product. So does moisture make the flooring product become destabilized and become deteriorating and or misshapen and all those things? So that's about water absorption. Mm-hmm. And there is tests for that. And we are proposing to amend the ASTM test that we did to establish quality standards for multilayer flooring to also include a specific test and a goal and a percentage of water absorption, which will then establish what is waterproof. So there are clearly going to be waterproof floors and non-waterproof floors.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, ceramic tile is waterproof. This is clear. Stone is waterproof. Carpet is not waterproof.
No.
Wood flooring laminate is not waterproof because it absorbs a lot of water when it's exposed. This is all done a really simple test, basically a submersion test. So once that's established, I think we then should make the conversation, what is waterproof? And if you need waterproofing, then you have to take alternative steps, not based on the surface. That clarity helps the customers, right? What's our job as an industry association, RFCI, MFA, Tile Council? Our job is to create clarity for the consumer so they can make the right choice, or the contractor or the building owner. So
right.
Creating understanding is our job, not promoting our own individual attributes. We all have our own individual attributes. We know that that's not an association's job.
All right. So I think the issue is there's the product and then there's the installed floor. So what you're saying is that, you know, if we're talking about the installed floor, in almost every instance, there needs to be some kind of barrier put down if you truly want a waterproof floor.
Yeah. And if you talk about an installed floor, you talk about every part of the installed floor. So waterproof vinyl really came about when we created a locking mechanism.
Yeah.
So that locking mechanism, if executed properly, will prevent the moisture from dripping through. And this is easy to test as well. However, we have to keep seams on the edge, right? We have to keep expansion seams.
Right.
So that part of the floor is not waterproof. Now, you take ceramic tile, which also is a waterproof product. You put grout between it to make sure that it's sealed. So the grout is not integral to the tile, but it is integral to the insulation. So there's an entire industry of grout repair, grout renewal, grout resealing. So the grout itself does depreciate over time and needs to be repaired. So you're only as strong as your weakest link. In our case, it's the edge, and in ceramic tile's case, it's the grout. There's one other question I'd like to ask your listeners, Kemp, which is, if anyone's ever been in a hospital for a surgical procedure, I personally have had multiple surgeries, when you're in that surgery room, what kind of floor is there? It's a plastic floor. It's vinyl. And it's the cleanest, safest floor that's usually used in places like operating rooms and hospitals. Same with clean rooms.
All right, Harlan. Well, I appreciate you clarifying the Resilient Flooring's position on this.
I don't want to say I'm speaking for the whole industry. I'm speaking for myself.
Okay, Harlan. Some good points. Again, been talking to Harlan Stone, the CEO with HMTX Industries, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.